So today we're going to be continuing to look at Luke chapter 10, where we were last week. If you remember last week, we were looking at Luke chapter 10 because of our series that we started in Acts chapter 1. I know that might sound confusing, it might sound interesting. Well, why are we talking about Luke if we're talking about Acts chapter 1? Well, Acts chapter 1 kind of led us to the Gospel of Luke last week because we were talking about the idea that Luke is writing in Acts chapter 1, that in Luke he's writing about all that Jesus began to do and to teach, and we talked about how with Jesus everything is consistent. What he teaches, he does. You can never find Jesus anytime saying one thing and doing another. Whatever Jesus teaches, he does. It comes out in his behavior. He does. You can never say, see there, Jesus was a hypocrite. He didn't do what he taught. Every single thing he taught, he did. Which led us to this famous passage in Luke chapter 10, which is basically based on the Shema out of the Old Testament. And let's go ahead and say this together. And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." Now, I did give a challenge last week to the congregation. Does anybody remember the challenge that I proposed? Oh, there's a few hands. One, two, three. We're working at about 20% so far, it looks like, that remembered the challenge. So let me just ask this. Did anybody follow through with doing the challenge? And this, it looks like the same hands that remember it are the same hands that followed through with it. So basically the challenge was, something simple, was to read this each day starting last week through Christmas. So you can make it up if you want because the challenge is still going on now. Also, to read this to somebody else. And really made it easy last week, saying if you didn't like to read, if you didn't like to talk to somebody else, or all you had to do is bring up your Bible app and tap the speaker, it'll do it for you. You don't even need to worry about it, okay? So if everybody, let me just put it this way, everybody that's going to commit to doing the challenge between now and Christmas, signify by leaving your hands down, okay, it's unanimous, everybody's going to do it. So that's great. Every day, one time. I mean, how long does it take? The people that did it, how long did it take you? Seconds. Look at seconds. Come on, you can do it. Seconds. All right, thank you, Fred. We appreciate that. Right, if you don't know how to get it within seconds, Fred will teach you. He'll be out in the foyer afterwards. He can tell you how to do it. All right, so yeah, but this is important. Now, yesterday, we were trying to get the video out. I usually do a Christmas video series, one video a week. We usually do it earlier in the week, but because of different complications, it didn't get out till yesterday. So how many people saw the first Christmas video? Wow, more people saw that than heard the challenge last week, so that's good. All right, so I asked you in that video to read Luke chapter 10 so you could understand this whole thing in context. How many people read chapter 10 after watching the video? Oh, good. Wow. We have a handful. This is really going. This is good. You know, they say that technically you only remember about 7% of what I say anyway. So this is pretty good. We're over 7%. But the video, the reason that it's important is because to understand the context of this statement. Because I kind of, in some ways, I guess you could say, there might be a claim. Somebody may say that I misspoke last week, and before somebody says that, I just want to clear the air and just make sure that everybody understands. Yes, I kind of did, but I didn't, but I did. You ever have one of those, you know, where you admit you did something wrong, even though you didn't do something wrong, but you did do something wrong, right? That's kind of what I'm saying. So it was kind of right, and it was kind of wrong. It was kind of a misspoke because I was saying that Jesus said these words in the Gospel of Luke chapter 10. Was I right or wrong? Ooh. So who was it? The lawyer. It was the teacher of the law who said these words because he was mentioning it to Jesus. Now, Jesus affirmed what he said, which is why I was correct, because he affirmed it. So Jesus affirmed it because what happened was, if you read the whole chapter, you understand the whole story, that basically this teacher of the law, you know, the teacher of the law, the Pharisees, the ones who think they have it all together, the ones who think they understand the way church is supposed to go, the ones who were not welcome to Jesus at all, Luke even says that he asked him this question to test him. It was the purpose of testing him. he really wasn't interested in an answer. So he asked him a question about what do I have to do to have eternal life? Jesus turns around to him and he says, well, what is written in your law? How does it read to you? This was his response. So he responded to Jesus and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus looked at him and said, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. There's more to the discussion we'll get into later. But right there, what's happening is, it's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus put the question back to him. And it wasn't as if this person didn't know. It wasn't as if he responded to Jesus by saying, well, I'm not sure exactly. How do I do that? Or I'm not sure what the law says. He knew what the law says because he was able to recite it back to Jesus. How many times do we fall into that category when it comes to Scripture? We can know Scripture. We can memorize Scripture. We can recite Scripture. We can know the basic ideas of Scripture. We can have it memorized word for word, cover to cover. But Jesus is telling this man, hey, do this and you shall live. In other words, why don't you live what you are teaching, which goes back to Acts chapter 1, which is the idea that Jesus, all that Jesus began to do and teach. So this man already knew it. And so that's the one thing that's important to understand, that he already knew the Scriptures, even though he was asking the questions. And so then the man responds and he says, well, sure, but Jesus, who is my neighbor? You ever ask that question? Because I remember, as a child, I shared this in the 9 o'clock hour, when I would hear a Sunday school lesson, I would go home thinking I had to love my next door neighbor. Which is fine, because I didn't have a problem with the next door neighbor. It was the people two doors down I had a problem with. Right? Because that's what he meant, right? When you have to love your neighbor, it's just the person right beside you, right? That's what he meant, right? See, it's funny how we like to specify that. Well, who was Jesus talking about exactly? So that's what he's saying. Well, yeah, that's fine, Jesus. We understand that. That's great. But exactly who is my neighbor? Can you explain that to me? And then, of course, we have the whole story of the prodigal, the whole story of the Good Samaritan as a response that Jesus gives. But before we get into that, we'll get into that as we're leading up to Christmas, because, by the way, you're going to read this every day between now and Christmas. Out loud, and maybe you can just open your window and somebody could just be passing by and you can just do it, and that way you can fulfill the challenge. But every day you're going to be reading this, so every day you're going to have this ingrained in you by the time Christmas is here, because we're going to go through this verse and the Shema, which you remember. The Shema is so important because back in the Old Testament, it was so powerful and so important. They said to talk about this with your children when you're getting up, talk about this with your children when you're going to bed, talk about it when you're walking down the road, tie it around your finger so you can remember what the truth is. And that's what we're going to do with this, with the Shema here this Christmas. Christmas season. But the first part he says, with all your heart. And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Now remember, yes, the teacher of the law is the one who's saying it, but Jesus is the one who's affirming that he's correct in response, saying, yes, you are correct. Do this and you shall live. So this was Jesus' affirmation of the Jewish Shema coming from the Old Testament. And so the idea when he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. I want you to stop for a moment. You've heard that probably your whole life. I want you just to pause for a moment and try to think about what do you think he's saying when he says to love the Lord your God with all your heart. Because we've heard those phrases before, right? We've heard this before. I mean that with all my heart. I really don't want to do that anymore. Why? Well, I'm doing it, but it just seems like my heart isn't in it. You ever say that one? Or ever hear that one? interesting how we use that term and that phrase. And the reason we use those phrases, I would suggest, is primarily because of the Shema and what we have here. And this is where it comes from. That's the source of that. Because what are we saying when we say that? Well, we're saying that we're putting an emphasis on it, and we're saying that when we believe something with all our heart, for some reason we think it's not good enough just to simply say, I believe that. We need to put something else with it. It's not just that I believe it, but I believe it with all my heart, right? Or I love you with all my heart. Like there's a different caveat that we're giving there, putting an extra emphasis on it, that it's not just this, but it's this. This is big because this is with all my heart. And in the Greek text, the word comes from the word cardia in the Greek, and cardia points to the whole idea of source, which is what the heart is. Like basically, your heart is the source of you. Your physical heart is the source of the physical you, right? Because it's what pumps the blood. And without blood pumping, there's a problem, right? If the blood stops pumping, then there's an issue. That's why, if you want to really get technical about this, if somebody who didn't understand that, as maybe myself, would go to the doctor at some time and say that I have a pain right here, and this kind of happens just, I think, every doctor visit I've ever been in my entire life. It didn't matter what was hurting, didn't matter what the pain was, didn't matter if I pulled a muscle, didn't matter if I was having indigestion or acid reflux or whatever it might be, they always, always check the heart. You notice that? Every single time. And, you know, if someone who wasn't aware of it would be like, what are you doing? That's not where the pain is. I came to you about my foot and you're checking. You better go back to medical school. You don't even know what you're doing. But it's the source. That's why, because it's the source. And if you want to get to the source, this is where you go. And it's the same thing with the spiritual life. It's the source of our spiritual life. That's what he's not speaking in physical terms here. He's speaking in spiritual terms. Because you've heard it before where if somebody is really doing something like at a sporting event or something, and they always say, like, the fourth quarter is when you really reach down deep and when you really pull everything you have out and you just leave everything out on the field. Like Ohio State did against Penn State this year. Anybody remember that? Hey, you'll have your turn, okay? Okay. But yeah, they say leave it out on the field, right? Notice I'm not talking about 2 weeks ago, and we didn't do that either. So leave it out on the field. You give it everything you have. That's this word. That's what cardia means. That's what the heart means. It's the source that you're giving it every single thing. So now I want you to think about, what does it mean to love the Lord your God with everything you have, with all your heart? That it's not enough just to simply say, yes, I love the Lord. No, I love the Lord, my God, with all my heart. With the source of who I am. The heart is where the motives are. The heart is where your intentions are. That is the source of everything you do. I love the Lord in that way. See, that is so different than other ways that we could love God, I suppose. For example, you remember, and I think I've shared this a couple times, but there's one in town now that has one. And I really just, ever since we've realized that, it's just been amazing. But I'll just tell you the backstory on this. Years ago, we were at a pizza buffet. This was several years ago, before we even moved here. And I apologize if you heard this before, but this is just one of those stories that I almost get emotional about. Because we're at this pizza buffet, and this guy kept asking us. He goes, there was hardly anybody else there. And he said, I can make you guys anything, any special pizza that you want, anything you want, and on the buffet. And the buffet was full, and I thought, oh, Yeah, it looks like everything's good for everybody. And Miranda and I both said, yeah, I think we're good. Thank you. So I go up and I'm getting my you know, just a couple slices here and there. You know how I go to the pizza buffet, you know. And so I'm getting just a couple. And he goes, he comes up again and he goes, seriously, sir, anything at all I can make you right now? Anything at all? I'm thinking, man, this guy's really serious. And he said, anything, what do you like? Tell me what you like. And I said, well, I mean, I like meat. I like beef. And he goes, beef. He goes, oh, I can put beef on a pizza. And I go, oh, okay, that sounds good. And then he said, with lettuce. And And then he goes, how do you say, because he broke in English, he said, how do you say Big Mac? And you can make a Big Mac pizza? I love you. Right? So there's different ways that we say, I love you, right? That's one of them, right? But that's different. So there's something about the idea of not just saying, I love you, but the idea of, I love you with all my heart. Same thing you would do that would do with God. Well, look at what God just did. Isn't that amazing? God just came through for us. Oh, my goodness, we were having financial troubles. God made sure to meet the need. Oh, God, we love you. But then when it seems like God forgot about you, and it seems like you wonder where God is, and it seems like you wonder why isn't he answering like he did before, maybe you're not as enthused to say, God, I love you. That's because the love of God isn't based on what he does or doesn't do for us, or what we think he should do. Love, that's not what, it's not based on that. It's not like, well, God did pretty good this week, so I'll love him. But last week, you know, he didn't really, so I'm not gonna. No, this is loving God. This is different than that. This isn't based on what God does or how God performs or what God can do for you. It's not like that. This is, I love God with every single thing I have. And what this means, the cardia means, the idea, this is the source, which means this is my motivation. This is my motivation to live. This is what gets me out of bed in the morning, is the love I have for God. That's what it means to love the Lord your God with all your heart. You see, because what is so different about this is the idea of loving God in this way is all of a sudden it turns into Christianity is not no longer my religion. It's no longer my belief system. It's no longer what separates me from other faiths. But Christianity is now my life. And Jesus is now everything to me. He is my life. And I love him with everything that I have. We touched on this on the 9 o'clock, but it's interesting, isn't it, that the Shema and Jesus affirming this, it's interesting. The idea that you shall love the Lord your God, this is basically a commandment to love God, that you are to love the God with all your heart. So it's a commandment. So it's not a suggestion. It's not up for negotiation. It's not up for the idea of, well, I'd like to get to heaven, but I don't want to love God. I really don't know if I... No, that's it's not up for your opinion. It's not up for what you think. This is a commandment. And so the other thing that this does is this turns it into, this isn't this whole thing of, well, that's what those really strong Christians do. You know those really strong Christians? Those amazing Christians, the ones that I wish I could be like. Those, I mean, they really love God with all their heart. In fact, I'm glad they do love God with all their heart, because I would never be able to love God in the way they love God. But what this does is it makes it, this is for everybody. This is for all. This is a commandment for everybody to obey, not just the strong Christian. This is for the strong Christian, for the weak Christian. This is for the believer. This is for anybody who's seeking after Christ, is to love him in this way. And what else this does is this changes priorities, doesn't it? Priorities are important in life. I'm sure all of us have them, right? Everybody has priorities. Even if you haven't sat down and made a list of your priorities or articulated your priorities, everybody has priorities. What's important in your life? The priorities. I remember hearing somebody years ago say this. The bottom line is, because we were talking about the whole idea of church attendance and how to get people at the church and how to attract people to the church and how to keep their attention and all that kind of stuff and how to have activities and how to get people there and different things. But one person made a statement years ago. They said, all that's good and some of it works and we've seen success from it. We've seen people come to know God because of it. But the bottom line is, people do what they want to do. Would you agree with that? People do what they want to do. That's why Augustine put it this way. Augustine was the amazing guy who said that, he said, live for God and do whatever you want. Because when you live for God, you can do whatever you want because all you want to do is what He wants. That's what this idea is. The whole idea of loving God with all your heart means everything. You're putting everything on the line. My whole life belongs to you, God. My priorities belong to you. You come first, Jesus. Whatever you want, Jesus, you are first. Not just Christmas season, not just the time when we celebrate your birth, but every day of the year. Not just Easter when we celebrate your death and resurrection, but every day of the year. We put you first. So Jesus, we come to you and we say, what do you want? Because we love you with all our heart, our main source of our spirituality. We love you with that organ. And we're saying, Jesus, whatever you desire, whatever you want, you can have it. You take my priority list. You rearrange it. You put what should be on the top. You put what should be on the bottom, because my life is not my own. My life belongs to you. That's what all of this means. There's a story that was told years ago. It's funny, I can say this because of COVID. Anybody remember offering plates? Yeah. Well, there's a story. Maybe you've heard it before. It's been popular. It's been around. But there was years and years ago, there was a church that was taking up an offering. And there was this, I believe it was a little boy. I don't know exactly how old he was. I believe around 8, 9 years old or so. And as the plate was passed, he takes the plate and he just stops and just looks at the plate. And of course, you know what happens. You know, the parents start to nudge him and the ushers are waiting. You know, come on, we got to get on with the service. And he's just looking at the plate. He's just looking at it. And of course, then the parents and other people start to wonder, what's he going to do? Is he going to take something out of the plate and slip it in his pocket? What's going to happen? Keep an eye on him. And he looks both ways. Puts the plate down on the floor. I don't have any money, Jesus, but you can have me. That's what it means to love the Lord your God with all your heart, isn't it? Isn't that what it means, is when we say, Jesus, you can have everything. Jesus, my life is not my own, and it belongs to you. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for your word and for your truth and for all that you mean to us. And God, I just pray today that you would continue to remind each of us of this truth, of how important it is that you are number one. And that the main source of who we are belongs to you. Our priorities belong to you. It isn't just our religion. It isn't just our faith. It isn't just our belief system. But serving you means it's our life. We devote that to you today once again. Show each of us what this means. And we ask all these things in your name. Jesus.